I'm delighted to welcome my next guest into studio, and he has joined us on the show before talking about a number of different issues, but today he's here for a very personal reason. His name is Trevis Gleeson. He lives back west in lovely Dingle, and he's American born, but Trevis has multiple sclerosis, and he has written a book with Emma Rogan, which is called Living Well with Multiple Sclerosis. And first of all, Trevis, welcome.
Thank you very much, Deirdre. It's very happy to be here, as always.
And now, I know we've spoken before about loads of things, about American politics. We've spoken about chefing and food and all of that, and we spoke about Christmas. But this is, I think this might be the first time we've really chatted about you having MS. And can I take you back to when you were diagnosed, first of all, and what led to the diagnosis, if you like?
A bit of regression therapy.
Yeah.
Sure. So I suppose, like many people, little niggly bits, many people with MS, and in general, it happened, but I ignored them or explained them away myself. A couple were misdiagnosed, but it was back in April of 2001. I had an episode that kept building through the day. I had started the day in the East Coast of America trying to get in on an airplane, and it was going down to the corridor. It was like one of those horror films where it just stretched out in front of me, and my legs felt like I was going through walking through water or something. And by the time I got back to Seattle and then back to my home north of Seattle, I really thought maybe I was having a stroke. My leg wasn't reacting. My face felt doughy on my left side and was a little bit slack. So I...
How old were you at this
stage? I was 35 at the time, which back then, in 2001, was kind of right dead smack in the middle of when someone would be diagnosed with MS, and kind of that 25 to 50 zone. So it was... I don't know. I thought maybe I'd pinched a nerve or something. So I went to my massage therapist, who was very good at what she did, and she was actually advanced medically trained. And she agreed to give me the massage if I went to my doctor afterwards. And I lived, as I said, north of Seattle, which kind of like a lot of areas in that latitude, multiple sclerosis diagnosis is fairly common, relative. So my GP assumed that that's what it was. I was, that evening, I was into an MRI, and the following day I was advised that that's what it was multiple sclerosis. So I often say I was diagnosed overnight, but it took me about 15 years from my first symptoms.
Okay, and just for a person who only has a very vague idea, what is it in layman's terms? What is MS?
So I suppose... you know, in a place like Ireland, where something like 8,000 to 10,000 people live with the disease, you probably know someone, or at least know someone who knows someone who has the disease. But I often describe it, I'm old enough to remember when telephone lines went from telephone to telephone, and they were all over the place. Our brains being one telephone and every part of our body being another, they're connected by wires that have insulation on them, just like an old telephone wire would. And what ends up happening is the immune system somehow is programmed to think that the myelin, the insulation of that wire, is an enemy. So it starts to eat away at that and tears away at that. And then that causes kind of a misconnection in that telephone line. So it could be fuzzy, it could be staticky, it could be too loud, it could cut out intermittently, or it could be gone altogether. And then the if you will, the copper inside of that wire, the axons themselves begin to corrode or scar. Multiple sclerosis means many scars in Greek. And so all parts of the body are connected to the brain through the central nervous system, the spine and the spinal cord. So it's any part of the body can be affected, and often is affected by the disease.
Now, I do know a number of people who have multiple sclerosis, and I'm thinking straight away of one or two of them who are functioning and walking around and everything, and then I know one or two who are actually in wheelchairs. So that tells me that there's varying degrees of how it affects your life, that some people can have it very bad and more people not so bad, and they're managing with it.
It is. It's something of a spectrum disease. At this point, researchers are sort of put people into different categories. There's a relapsing, remitting form of the disease, which starts at the beginning. As I said, I probably had symptoms that would come and go for about 15 years before my diagnosing exacerbation or attack. And then there's a secondary progressive, so it goes beyond the inflammation stage that we were talking about and more into a slow and steady deterioration. And with that, you can get black holes in the brain itself and brain atrophy and loss of brain volume. And then there's another disease, another part of the disease. It may be something wholly different. Researchers aren't quite sure. It's called primary progressive multiple sclerosis. And that one never attacks and then remits. It's just kind of this constant downward spiral. And it's odd to those of us with the disease. It's, I suppose we all have a bit of black humor in us just to get past. But they call that progression, but it doesn't seem very much progress to me at all when we see more and more buildup of different levels of disability. And that can be more than just physical stuff as well. I mean, it can affect one cognitively quite a bit too.
How did you cope initially, Travis, with the diagnosis? Because it must have been a bolt out of the blue, and what a blow to get to a young man as well.
Well, I suppose in a word, it would be badly, is how I responded. I was one of those people, I raised my hand to it. I identified myself as the job that I did. I was a chef, I was good at what I did, etc. I derived most of my self-worth from what other people said, etc. So I suppose when MS popped that, or put a pin into that, that inflated ego that I allowed other people to inflate, it all sort of came tumbling down. And boy, within 5 or 6 months, I could no longer do my job. And at that point, I was traveling, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles a year for my job and training people, etc. So it took a pretty long time. I often say about 5 years for me to get my head around what the disease had done to my body and to my life. And only then could I get my heart around the concept of, all right, how do I live with this or live in tandem with it? And then eventually, how do I live well? Many people kind of feel like you go from thrive to survive when it comes to a disease like this, because often we're taken out of the workforce. We are isolated socially, etc. So it is a big change. So yeah, in a word, I took it badly.
You took it badly. And you're very honest in the book. Now, I haven't read all of it. I've dipped in and out of it. But you're very honest in the book about your own behaviour and how you didn't behave very well, and you were very down. And it's quite raw in parts in the book. You're really, really honest.
Well, you know, I suppose that an old friend in America used to say that we all direct our own film, and that's what we see. And I feel like every day I polish my lens with a cloth that is multiple sclerosis. Now, it's something like 6 in 10 people in the first world will eventually live with some form of chronic illness. And that cloth that they polish their lens with mightn't be MS. It might be, you know, Crohn's disease, or it might be celiac disease, or it might be arthritis, or any of a number of autoimmune or chronic illnesses. So much of what has been written, and this took me 18 years to write all that was in here. It's something of a compilation. It was never written in a linear fashion, but we compiled that way from the early days to falling off the wagon to friends and family issues and finally getting your heart around it and then living well. But most chronic illnesses, and I've just written a piece about this for a website that I write in America called everydayhealth.com, a lot of these symptoms, a lot of these experiences, we come back around to. It's kind of a, you might think of it as a chronic circle of having a symptom, experiencing it, regretting it, grieving it, figuring out how to get on with it, and then getting on with it, and then experiencing the next thing. But in actuality, it's more of a chronic corkscrew, because every time we come around to a new symptom or back to that symptom, we're further down our life in a linear fashion. So we've added different experiences, etc. So that's kind of how I go about it. And what's the point about writing something if you're not going to be open and honest about it with yourself? And I've been writing for an audience of tens and hundreds of thousands of people with this particular disease. And probably the number one thing that I hear, and it's certainly the most rewarding thing I hear, is I thought I was the only one. So by someone reading something that I've experienced that maybe no one else has talked to about, or they haven't talked with anyone about it, and they can say, oh, me too, and then comment to one another back and forth and have a conversation that then they take on to their family, to their medical professionals, etc. I think that that's really important. And if I embarrass myself a little bit along the way, trust me, it's not the first and it will not be the last time.
Listen, we're going to keep you for another few minutes, Travis, if that's okay. And I've more questions to ask you. By the way, if there is anyone out there who has MS and they would like to maybe comment or ask Travis anything, I'm sure he'd be delighted to lend his own experience. We're on 083-300-3300. We are also on 066-712-3666 if you'd like to call us. 17 minutes past two. More from Travis Gleeson about his book, Living Well with Multiple Sclerosis, after these. Welcome back to the programme. Now, Travis Gleeson is with us, talking to us about his new book and chatting to us a little bit about his journey with multiple sclerosis. Travis, now I know that you were in America working as a chef, working very busy, hectic lifestyle, and now you are no longer a chef and living in Ireland. And in fact, you were telling me during the ad break, you're now an Irish citizen as well.
We are. Last week, we were made citizens, and we're very honoured and feel very privileged and happy to be here for good. There's no shedding us now.
There's no getting rid of you now, yourself and your wife, Karen. So was the decision to move to Ireland linked to the MS diagnosis, or was it completely separate?
You know, I suppose, that's a long question. The first book that I wrote when we first met, the book was called Chef Interrupted, and it was about a winter that I spent here in West Kerry. And I took that opportunity because I thought that the window of opportunity was closing. I had been on a very rigorous course of chemotherapy to try to slow down the disease, and it had slowed it down. And I thought if I was going to do that one bit of a dream, I'd better do it now. And instead of just taking a box, moving to, you know, 180-year-old stone cottage on the Connor Pass Road just made me fall in love with the place even more. So coming here and spending some time here was definitely due to multiple sclerosis. But the welcome that I felt, and all the people that came to visit, was more important than anything. When I brought my wife back, I hadn't met her yet, and brought her back for a honeymoon, she started to feel something about West Kerry as well. So when we got back to Seattle, we decided that we would take a bit of time and out of our life and live the dream while we could, because I often say that, you know, retirement was no longer going to be me in a canoe, you know, fishing in some pond in Vermont or something. I had to live my life and fast forward. And a lot of people with chronic illness who are looking at a level of diminishment or disability later on in their disease and in their life, but maybe earlier than when one might expect that in a natural aging process. We think about things like that. So I said, well, let's move to West Kerry for 5 to 7 years. And Karen said, sure, we'll do that for 3 to 5 years. And I said, that's what I meant. But now we're over a dozen, or nearly a dozen years here, and we're citizens, and there's just not any going home.
And now I know I'm jumping from one question to another, but I want to get the key points in. The book is about living well with MS as well as your own story. Are there practical pieces of advice in it about the day-to-day living with the condition? Or is it also sort of psychological advice, if you like, for want of a better term? Or is it a bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. The thing is put together it wasn't written linearly, but it is put together that way. Emma Rogan, who is fantastic, helped me edit and put it together in that way. And there's a lot of things that we you know, we experience both in physical symptoms and sort of the psychological and emotional ramifications of those symptoms. So it's a little bit of both. Now, one of the things that we put in there is something that I sort of stumbled upon. I think I was maybe 10 years into writing these regular pieces. And I said something like 12 things that I've learned in 10 years of writing. And one of them I said was someone should come up with a symptom thesaurus, because when you go into your consultant or even to your GP, you have a very limited time, and we need to be able to explain our symptoms in a succinct manner, but in a specific manner. Because if I go in and say, well, I'm having a pain in my fill in the blank, the doctor needs to know what kind of pain. And it's not just sharp or dull or stabbing. We came up with, and it was before there was anything that was known as crowdsourcing, I would put out a symptom and people would answer back, and we then compiled hundreds of answers, and then for the book we culled it down. So if I say I'm having sort of a sizzling pain, my neurologist will know that that's a nerve reaction pain. That is something having to do with the stripping of the myelin, etc. And in fact, someone put up something along the line of it feels like someone's waxing a nerve. Now, I've never had anything waxed, but I could certainly imagine that. And not being a furry, so I don't need anything waxed. We had to get that one in. I mean, come on, okay, with a lead on and like that.
Okay.
But come here. So what we've done is we've put in some practical things to help people have a conversation with their physicians or with their family, because it does help them to explain, and perhaps those people can understand a little bit better. And the number of physicians who have come to me, even one practitioner in America who said, not only should everyone who has MS read this book, but all of their healthcare providers should as well.
So it's
a really I'm honored and humbled that would be said. But it is something that I think there's a lot of practicality in there. Then there's a lot of spaces where people will go, huh, that's what I'm feeling, and just turn and show the page to their partner or to their family as well. So I think that there's support in there, there's practicality as well, and there's a little bit of tough love in there sometimes. Sometimes we just need to, you know, kind of get out of our own way and get on with the living part.
Yeah, well, you seem to be very good at that, to be fair. And I won't keep you any longer, because obviously we want people to buy the book, read the book, recommend the book. But how are you now? Because, you know, I've met you several times and you always look very healthy. And apart from the fact that you have a walking stick, I would never have known there was anything wrong. So you're obviously, are you in remission, or are you just managing it very well, or what?
I'm doing the best I can with what I have. Now, often I say that, you know, people only see me out when I'm having a good enough day. Luckily, we live in a community where if I'm not seen around the town for a couple, 3 days, the phone rings or someone calls in and just kind of checks up on me. And that's lovely. But I have, you know, physically, I've been having a few falls. I've got a little scrape on my head where I fell against something just recently. These things are part of living with a chronic illness. Part of what I had to do is learn how to fall and how to get back up, because these things are going to happen. A friend of mine said, when I said, oh, Jesus, I had a fall recently, she said, no, you didn't have a fall. Old people have a fall. You fell down. It's like, naturally, I had a fall, and I'm going to have another one, and I had one the previous week. This is just part of living with the disease and knowing what's going to happen to me. So I've learned to fall, and I've learned to get up, and usually that works well. But we've all got something, and there ain't none of us getting out of here alive. So I figure I'm going to live my best life the best I can, and if writing about it and sharing that knowledge helps someone else, then all the better for me, and hopefully the better for them as well.
Very well said. Well, look, the book it looks really interesting, even if you don't have anyone in your life with multiple sclerosis, but I've just dipped in and out of it, but there's some really interesting stuff in it, and it's very, very honest as well, which is great, and which is what we would expect from you, Travis. Listen, I know you're busy. Are you you're involved in food projects and stuff like that? And
yeah, the Corcoraguina Food Network is up and running, and we're doing very well. We're excited with what's going on in West Kerry food-wise. the I've been involved with some things with MS Society of Ireland, doing some webcasts for them, talking about the unspeakable bits, the things that no one else is talking about. We just recently had one about bladder issues with a local neurologist, Helena Moore, in fact. So we're doing what we can and trying to make a difference and earn that citizenship that you were talking about.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you and Karen, your wife, as well, as two new citizens of Kerry. Don't mind this Irish business. Being a citizen of Kerry is
Han the kingdom,
the greatest gift you can get from God. Travis, well done on another great book. And you're leaving us an autographed one to give away as well.
Well, I don't know if I'm worthy of an autograph, but I'll sign a copy and let you give it away. So I hope that any of your listeners, even if it's not multiple sclerosis, that's in their life, either directly or peripherally. I think that anyone who knows someone with a chronic illness might be able to take a little something from it.
Yeah, super. And it's a great read. Travis, always a pleasure to see you, and continued good health. And I know we'll talk again.
Juju, you're very kind as always. Thanks, Emil.
We'll take a break, folks. Actually, before we go to the break, if anyone would like a copy of Travis's book, we've got one to give away. Just text the word book with your full name and your contact details, and we'll pick one of the texts, and that person will get the book. So back after the break.